Well, welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us.
Israeli warplanes keep hammering the Gaza Strip neighborhood by neighborhood, reducing the fully blockaded Palestinian territory to rubble. Over 2,700 Palestinians, including more than 1,000 children, have been killed in 9 days of relentless bombardments by the regime. About 10,000 others have been wounded so far. The airstrikes continue, as Israel has ordered over 1 million Palestinians in the northern part of Gaza to move south. The humanitarian situation is also deteriorating by the hour, as the regime has blocked the supply of water, electricity, fuel, and medicines into the territory. The UN chief has urged Israel to allow rapid and unimpeded humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip. The UN Relief and Works Agency has also warned that Gaza is witnessing an unprecedented human catastrophe.
The number of people seeking shelter in our school and other UNRWA facilities in the south is absolutely overwhelming, and we do not have any more the capacity to deal with them. My team will relocate to Rafah to sustain operation following the Israeli ultimatum is working in the same building as thousands of desperate displaced people, rationing also their food and their water. In fact, an unprecedented humanitarian catastrophe is unfolding under our eyes.
The UN agency says some 1 million Palestinians have been displaced since the Israeli assaults began. Meanwhile, Israel has stationed thousands of troops and heavy weapons near the Gaza border. The Arab League and African Union have warned that the regime's possible ground invasion could result in, quote, a genocide of unprecedented proportions. Palestinian resistance groups have launched more attacks against Israel, retaliation for the regime's bombardment of the Gaza Strip. The military wing of Hamas resistance movement, the Izzeddin al-Qassam Brigades, launched missiles at the city of Tel Aviv. The cities of Sderot and Shlomi were targeted as well. Qassam Brigades also hit a gathering of Israeli soldiers in Ra'im region with missiles. Hamas had previously stated that it can target anywhere in the Israeli territories. The Palestinian resistance fighters entered the Gaza envelope area on October 7th, following missile strikes on Israeli targets under the Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. Over 1,400 Israelis have been killed and 3,400 injured since then. Hamas says it launched a military campaign in response to repeated Israeli desecration of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the regime's crimes and aggression throughout the decades. The Israeli regime has a long history of killing Palestinian children. Mohammed al-Dura was one of them, whose gruesome murder during the Second Palestinian Intifada sparked international condemnations and attracted widespread media coverage. Now, several members of his family are killed in the latest Israeli aggression on Gaza. Two of Mohammed's uncles and one of his cousins are among the latest victims of Israeli atrocities. Mohammed's father, Jamal al-Dura, bid farewell to his slain brothers, remembering the scene of his son's killing. 12-year-old Mohammed was killed in the Gaza Strip during widespread protest against the Israeli occupation on the 30th of September 2000. A Palestinian TV cameraman filmed Israeli troops crouching behind a concrete cylinder, the boy crying and the father waving. Then a burst of gunfire and dust. Mohammed was shown slumping as he was mortally wounded by gunfire and died soon after. Well, Iran has condemned the silence of the international community on the Israeli bloodshed in Gaza. Tehran says those who are pursuing their own political agenda have closed their eyes to the Israeli onslaught in the blockaded territory.
It is regrettable to see those who are seeking their own goals are closing their eyes to those realities. Do they see such crimes? Do they know what is happening in Gaza these days? There are some of the painful images of the savage bombardment of the Israeli regime on Gaza. Don't they see that? Don't these children have any rights? Do those Western regimes that have provided their utmost support for Israel and have made the regime part and parcel of their foreign policy? I'm asking them, do human rights not include the innocent Palestinians?
Khanani added the duplicity and hypocrisy of the false claimants of human rights are clear in the bloodshed happening in the Gaza Strip these days. The spokesman added that those who helped the regime in its atrocities are also responsible for the crimes committed against Palestinians. Khanani said Gaza is under the total siege of a regime that is incapable of confronting its enemy on the battlefield, and it is using all of its military power against an oppressed people in a blockaded strip of land. The Iranian president has strongly condemned Israel's policy of forcing the people of Gaza from their homes in the northern part of the Palestinian territory. Ibrahim Raisi says the regime's policy is a blatant violation of all international laws and humanitarian principles. Addressing a cabinet session, Raisi also slammed the silence of some governments and international organizations in the face of Israel's unprecedented crimes. He said supporting the oppressed people of Palestine is the unwavering policy of the Islamic Republic. In an earlier phone conversation with his French counterpart, Emmanuel Macron, Raisi said Israel's actions against Palestinians are reminiscent of the Nazis' behavior. He added that the ongoing operation by resistance groups is a reaction to 7 decades of killing, oppression, and injustice towards Palestinians. Iran's foreign minister has strongly condemned Israel's brutal attacks on the besieged Gaza Strip, saying the regime's measures against Palestinians amount to war crimes. Hossein Amir Abdollahian was speaking in a phone call with his Chinese counterpart, Wang Yi. He said the regime is using banned munitions, including phosphorus bombs, against Gazans while cutting their access to water, electricity, and fuel. Iran's top diplomat added that Israel is also destroying Gaza's civilian structures and hospitals. He warned that the situation in the Palestinian territory is very dire, which can get out of hand and spread beyond Gaza at any moment. China's top diplomat, for his part, said the international community should slam Israeli attacks on civilians. He also urged the UN Security Council to fulfill its responsibility in this regard. Surgeon with the international medical charity Doctors Without Borders gives the horrific details of a hospital in Gaza which is overwhelmed with injured in relentless Israeli attacks. Dr. Ghassan Abu Sattah says Israelis are trying to force the closure of hospitals and the collapse of the health system in Gaza.
I'm currently at Shifa Hospital. The situation here is absolutely catastrophic. There is an impending public health catastrophe. There are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of people who have sought refuge in the hospital, in the grounds, but also inside the hospital, in the stairwells, in the corridors, in the wards between the patient beds. The staff numbers are dwindling because of the fact that some people can no longer get to the hospital safely, some people have decided that they need to be with their families, and some people have lost families, and some people have been killed. There's over 150 patients who need to go to surgery and can't, and we're now seeing the consequences of delayed surgery in patients that have not been able to go to the operating room. My colleagues had to repair someone's face under local anesthetic because there is no access to an operating room because there are all the available rooms and anesthetists were busy. The Israelis are trying to force the closure of many hospitals, particularly in the north, and they're calling the hospital directors and threatening to target these hospitals in order to force a collapse. The Israelis are trying to force a collapse in the health system as part of the pressure on Palestinian society. Unless the humanitarian community intervenes, unless there's a humanitarian corridor to supply the hospitals and to evacuate the wounded, unless there's a cessation to the bombing, then this place is heading to absolute disaster.
Bassem Naim, the head of the Political and International Relations Bureau of the Hamas Resistance Movement, joined us earlier. He held the Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, describing the Israeli regime's atrocities against Palestinians as the main reason for the operation.
First of all, I have to say this was not a surprise on political context and on the technical context. On the political context, we have for months and years warned all those who contacted us from the international community, Western countries, UN diplomats, that the situation on the ground is unsustainable and Palestinians cannot continue forever keeping silent, waiting for not coming political solutions, while we see the extremist settlers in Al-Aqsa storming the mosque, closing the mosque in front of our Palestinian worshippers, kicking and hitting our men and women. We cannot continue keep silent towards the daily killing machine against our women and children and elderly on checkpoints in the West Bank, the plans of Judaization of Jerusalem, We cannot keep silent towards the instructions and policies of this mad extremist security minister Ben Gvir toward more than 5,800 prisoners, including civilians, including men and women and children. And lastly, we cannot keep silent toward a very suffocating siege in the Gaza Strip for more than 17 years, so that a whole generation, the life of a whole generation, is destroyed. On the technical level, I think, yes, it is very surprising, but from both sides, it's very surprising that that very simple young men, most of them 20, 21, 22, 23, who maybe have got some training here or there, but they are not the graduated officers of very highly, very famous military colleges, that they were able in a few hours to crash this, the whole security, the very sophisticated security system of the Zionist regime.
Let's get some analysis into the picture. Farah Hughes, journalist, author, and activist, joins us from Belfast to share with us his thoughts. Farah Hughes, welcome to the program. One of the things that I'd like to ask you about on the humanitarian side of this, aside from the shocking figure of 1,000 children to have been killed, which was confirmed at this point, is the fact that you're having some, I'm not too sure how to describe this. There are a couple examples that I want to ask you about. One is the fact that there was an announcement made earlier in the day that water was made accessible to the southern part of the Gaza Strip. It turned out that was false. There's this corridor, supposedly, that may have happened for the Rafah border crossing for it to be opened in order to get some people out. That hasn't happened. And when you get the fact that you have what many are saying is false news by Israel in order to have Palestinians hopes raised, and then for it to get demolished, it's just part of this psychological torture that's being added to this. Is Israel brutally releasing all the types of techniques onto the Palestinians to ultimately have them break down? And then, of course, many of this is leading to the Palestinian deaths, such as the corridor, which it seems like that's another ploy to get Palestinians out. And then there's some instances where they have been killed.
Yes, it's very much a psychological warfare, and it's very much propaganda from the international community. What we're witnessing is this ongoing barbaric onslaught upon the innocent civilians of Gaza. It was proved in the past that whenever the Israelis encouraged the Gazan civilians to go to the UNRWA centers and the schools and the medical facilities where they were told they would be safe, they were subsequently bombed. In one of the so-called safe corridors, I believe there were 70 civilians murdered just the other day. So what Israel is doing is it's trying to raise the hopes of opening the Rafah border crossing, of allowing humanitarian aid in. But this is really part of a propaganda war to satiate the anger in the West at what Israel is doing. So when people cry out, you cannot starve people by not giving them food. You cannot allow people on ventilators to die in hospitals because you're refusing to allow in fuel. And you cannot allow people to thirst to death in a very short period of time by not allowing the water in. So then they say water is available. Then they say the Rafah border crossing should be open to allow some form of relief to enter Rafah. But I've been following your coverage. I know that the people at the Rafah border crossing are indeed people with dual national passports. And America is part of this propaganda war. They want all dual citizens, American Palestinian citizens, to leave Gaza because they don't want the international outcry that you'll witness when people who are American, Canadian, British, French, Irish, or whatever Western European white colonial state that they come from, they don't want their people dying on the ground. So they just want Palestinians to die Gazans today. I read a report that there may be up to 1,000 dead bodies still underneath the rubble. We are about to witness a catastrophic kind of wave of disease sweeping the Gaza Strip. If there's no sanitation and there's no fresh water and there's no equipment to clean the streets, to keep people clean, how do you shower? How do you keep your children clean? How do you do any of that to prevent some form of outbreak of a contagious disease? I mean, I was once in Latakia for 15 days on a convoy going to Gaza in 2010, led by George Galloway, and we stayed in Camp Rumela in Latakia, and we had an outbreak of gastroenteritis because everyone was using the same toilets. So like, if you can imagine even something as simple as that sweeping through the Gaza Strip, that 50,000 pregnant women are due to give birth in the next 16 days. This is a humanitarian catastrophe that everyone is watching.
Do you think that when the U.S. Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, made his rounds in the regional countries where, based on the most latest report, he has now returned to Israel for crisis talks, as it calls it, did he make any plea for humanitarian assistance of any kind? This is day 9.
Yes, America is quite happy to fall in line with Israeli Zionist ethnic cleansing. America is the one behind trying to have Gazan refugees, the people who are being pummeled and carpet bombed every day. America wants the same thing that the Zionists do. They want to have the Gazan people move into the Sinai, and they want the people of the West Bank to move into Jordan. And just briefly, I mean, I've been running over in my own mind how we got to where we are today. And I was looking back on Operation Alaska Flood, and I can't help but thinking that all military operations that emanate from Gaza by the resistance or a complete reaction, a military reaction to the continued Israeli governmental policies of murdering West Bank and the continued siege on Gaza.
That was from Belfast. Farah Hughes speaking. He's a journalist, author, and activist who was speaking to us.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints. It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْ
این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی است.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
In this program, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a part of a speech delivered by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the veterans from the Sacred Defense and the resistance field. This meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on September 20, 2023, inaugurating Sacred Defense Week. First of all, Imam Khomeini was a divine man. He was a unique divine person who, along with his knowledge, thought, experience, and maturity in various areas, possessed a clear soul and spiritual purity. Therefore, his words were influential. For example, consider when he said, Pave must be rescued. I heard this from Mustafa Chambran Hussein. As soon as Imam Khomeini's message was broadcast on the radio at 2 p.m., they were under siege in Pave and the enemy had surrounded them. As soon as this message was broadcast, although no forces had yet arrived, and perhaps they had not even been deployed, we saw that the way had opened up around us. These words were effective in themselves. I heard this from Chambran himself, our dear martyr.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Or when the late Imam Khomeini said, "The siege on Abadan must be broken," there was no question about this. The siege was broken. In various instances, for example, in the case of Susangerd and the conflict over the attacks on Susangerd, there were questions about whether we should go there to defend it or not. There were problems with regard to it. When Imam Khomeini's message came via mediator, the issue was resolved. We had a commander like him whose words were so influential and benefited from spirituality, purity, and a strong spirit. Furthermore, there was the religious color of the sacred defense, the religious color. When there is a religious color, what happens is that this young man takes action while eagerly awaiting martyrdom. Read the biographies that have been written about the martyrs. They set out with the hope of being martyred. They would cry because they wanted to go to the battlefield in the hope of becoming a martyr. This is what happens when there is a religious color. The families of these young men, their fathers, mothers, and wives, would give their approval and send them to the battlefield for the cause of God.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been
wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Scenes out of the Gaza Strip are nothing short than a massacre. The hospital there is on its last breath, like the patients. Meanwhile, the Israeli military has ordered the evacuation of more than 1 million people from northern Gaza to, quote, temporarily move south to mitigate civilian harm. The UN has condemned this move, warning against devastating humanitarian consequences, warning that the evacuation was simply not possible.
Moving more than 1 million people across a densely populated war zone to a place with no food, water, or accommodation when the entire territory is under siege is extremely dangerous and in some cases simply not possible.
The Palestinian UN envoy had harsher words, urging the UN chief to stop Israel's crimes against humanity.
Stop this carnage of civilians.
Israel's UN ambassador, meanwhile, criticized the UN response to Israel's warning. The UN should be praising Israel for these precautionary actions, he said. For years, the UN has put its head in the sand in the face of Hamas's terror buildup in Gaza. This coming from a regime that has never heeded any UN resolutions, or international law for that matter, and has been called a child killer. The stats here speak for themselves.
More than 150,000 Palestinian civilians have been killed or injured in Gaza and the West Bank since 2008. 33,000 of those were children.
This is what Israel has in mind. The creation of two evacuation routes to the south of Barakah, which Israel has said will not be the target of Israeli attacks. Hamas has rejected that outright. There are fears that Israel is trying to bring people to the streets with the aim of creating gatherings and then taking casualties, something it has done in previous wars. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, it is reported that the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, is negotiating with Persian Gulf Arab countries to convince them to accept the residents of the Gaza Strip. He has said that it is because the Israeli army is getting ready to raise Gaza to the ground. The expression to raise to the ground is one that Blinken used exactly. The plan is to transfer 1 million citizens to Egypt and then distribute them to Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. What Israel has in mind is to prepare for a block-by-block warfare in Gaza. Israel has already stated that the goal is to destroy Hamas, disregarding the human costs, which may include the ones in captivity. And that includes Israeli soldiers' lives as well. The resistance fighters can use their tunnel network to get in behind the attack or to attack in all directions, to make it very difficult for Israel to effectively have an advantage. At the end, the U.S. and a U.S.-supported coalition will help Israel demolish the Gaza Strip, which the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has stated. The U.S. would do that through its aircraft carrier, the Gerald Ford, along with the U.K., who has sent surveillance aircraft. But not so fast. Hamas itself has plenty of firepower left in its arsenal, from drones to missiles and its fighters. And there are other players in this battle as well, who are willing and even more able to defeat the enemy forces. Hezbollah and a squadron of fighters for one, who has said that it would act when deemed necessary. Israel's ultimate goal is a greater Israel. One needs to look at where the American forces are located. From the west of Iraq, on the Euphrates border, and east of the Euphrates of Syria. But if it comes down to that, there is one formidable force standing in their way, the Islamic Republic of Iran. The European Union has asked Elon Musk to censor information not conforming to the Western narrative over Israel's war of aggression against Palestinians in Gaza. The EU called on Musk, the billionaire owner of the social media website X, formerly known as Twitter, to curb the spread of what it called disinformation about Israel's aggression against Palestinians. In a letter to Musk shared on social media, EU industry chief Thierry Breton claimed that he had indications that X was purportedly being employed to disseminate what he called illegal content and disinformation in the European bloc. Criticism directed at X social media platform is part of a multi-front information war designed to control the narrative around anything surrounding the Palestinian issue and the latest anti-occupation operation. Palestinian support in the West is at an all-time high, despite Western leaders coming out in the open in defense of the Israeli regime and its relentless and indiscriminate aggression against Palestinians. In France, which prides itself for so-called freedom of expression, police attacked a pro-Palestine demonstration.
It's a shame that France is authorizing the protests in favor of Israel, but forbidding the protests for Palestine, arguing that they pose a security problem. They just can put some policemen and they will see that things will go well. We have the right to show solidarity with people who have been suffering oppression for a long time. This has to stop. Stop hypocrisy. Stop.
Western leaders and their media cronies have come out in unison to toe the same false narrative that the Hamas operation was unprovoked and that the Israeli regime is justified in attacking Palestinians. But they fail to mention the unbearable situation that Israel has created for Palestinians, both in Gaza and the occupied West Bank.
Also, this is just part of colonization. This is the last phase of European colonization. And notice that the countries that are most strongly in support of Israel are not just the United States. It's the United States, Australia, and Canada, the offshoots of England, Anglosphere sometimes called, unusual forms of imperialism. These are settler colonial societies.
The West and its media apparatuses have turned to the disinformation campaigns to muddy the line between fact and reality. Perhaps the most egregious claim came from the Zionist outlet I-24 News. It falsely claimed that 40 Israeli babies were killed and that some were decapitated. The claim has been proven categorically false by media outlets. The claim of Israeli babies being killed was spread with no proof or source. Yet the very real footage of martyred Palestinian babies being pulled from the Gaza rubble was largely ignored by Western leaders and their influence accounts.
I am incredibly angered that word of mouth, unverified reports of quote-unquote rape and decapitation, which obviously draw on Islamophobic tropes, have garnered more and more political and global outrage than those very images, than a video of a nurse announcing and screaming in distress that her husband has been killed in an Israeli airstrike. And, you know, the PR strategy of the Israeli regime throughout all of this has been to invoke those Islamophobic sentiments.
Western media apparatus and celebrity apparatus are intertwined, and they propagate the so-called standard narrative about the righteousness of Western Israeli axis and the inherent evil character of Muslims and Arabs. Any deviation, meaning support for Palestine, is met with categorically false claims of anti-Semitism, racism, or outlandish smear campaigns. Decades of aggression, occupation, land theft, systematic discrimination against Palestinians, and oppression have largely been ignored.
The Israeli government have brazenly, publicly, and openly declared their intention to commit a war crime and have commenced that war crime against the people of Gaza, saying that they intend to starve of food, electricity, water, 2.2 million people. That is a war crime under the Fourth Geneva Convention. They are raining down thousands of the most sophisticated missiles known to humanity onto the most densely populated area in the world. That almost every missile will incur civilian casualties, will and are destroying the infrastructure, the water infrastructure, the energy.
Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says Israel will receive a heavier slap for the regime's ongoing massacre of the Palestinian people in the besieged Gaza Strip. The leader emphasized that the Gaza massacre will bring a greater calamity to the Zionists after they suffered, quote, an irreparable failure both in terms of military and intelligence. Ayatollah Khamenei further described as a destructive quake the anti-Israel operation launched by Palestinians. He said those who blame the operation on non-Palestinians are making mistakes. The leader underlined that the damage inflicted on Israel in the surprise operation by Palestinians is the result of the regime's own actions. Ayatollah Khamenei said the brave move by Palestinians was a response to years of Israeli crimes. The leader said Israel is now playing the victim card and that Western media outlets are helping the regime in this regard. Ayatollah Khamenei noted that the regime cannot be portrayed as an oppressed entity while it is actually a monster. He warned Israel and its backers that the bloodshed of Palestinians will bring them greater calamity. The leader said the Israeli regime is playing the victim card in order to double down on its oppression and justify its attack on people's houses, attack on civilians, and its massacre and mass killing of Gazans. The ferocious bombardment of the Gaza Strip has left the besieged territory in ruins. The residents of Gaza are facing unimaginable suffering.
But my neighbors, they didn't evacuate as well. They have their windows down. Here are their windows. And here is the family. They're gathering all together, also in a place far away from the wind. I was trying to explain things, but I think you can hear them now.
Aid groups say the damage to water, sanitation, and hygiene facilities have already disrupted services to more than 2.3 million people there. Israeli officials have cut water, electricity, and fuel supplies to the coastal enclave. Israel is squeezing Palestinians in Gaza further, extending an existing 16-year air, land, and sea blockade of the territory. Legal experts have been raising the question of whether Israel's actions could be considered a war crime by the International Criminal Court.
The humanitarian situation in Gaza was extremely dire before these hostilities. Now it will only deteriorate exponentially. Medical equipment, food, fuel, and other humanitarian supplies are desperately needed, along with access for humanitarian personnel. Relief and entry of essential supplies into Gaza must be facilitated, and the UN will continue efforts to provide aid to respond to these needs.
According to the UN, more than 187,000 of Gaza's 2.3 million people have left their homes. There are no bomb shelters in Gaza. Residents who have lost their homes have nowhere to turn except the 83 UNRWA schools across the territory. According to Palestinian health officials, Israeli strikes have targeted hospitals and medical crews. Hospitals are overcrowded with injured people.
Health facilities, patients, health workers, and civilians in general have to be protected and safeguarded, as Dr. Tedros has said over the week.
There is a shortage of drugs and medical supplies and a shortage of fuel for generators. The Palestinian Ministry of Health has called for a safe corridor to ensure the entry of urgent medical aid into Gaza's hospitals. The Red Crescent has delivered some medical aid to Gaza through the Rafah crossing, but the delivered aid is far from enough to alleviate the pains and sufferings of the people in Gaza. Gaza. The Gaza power plant, now the only source of electricity, has run out of fuel. The loss of electricity will directly affect hospitals and the water supply. As the war drags on in Ukraine, signs are emerging that do not bode well for the U.S.-led coalition against Russia. Just days ago, the Slovak Social Democracy Party, which is a pro-Russia party, won the country's parliamentary elections. The leftist Smeristy Party, led by former Premier Robert Fico, has not secured enough votes to form a government and needs to form a coalition with other parties. But the victory has been interpreted as a sign of growing war fatigue in Europe. The party's leader has said that no more weapons would go to Ukraine. He has also questioned the logic of the EU's Russia sanctions and even accused NATO of causing the war.
I believe that on the one hand, yes, we should expect certain, let's say, uncomfortable relationship between Brussels and Slovakia. But then on the other hand, I also think that the relationship will also be rather pragmatic. However, the danger is real when it comes to Slovakia's declining support to Ukraine. And this will also have its impact to weaken the EU's unity when it comes to its support for Ukraine.
Just weeks ago, Poland, a staunch ally of Ukraine, announced that it would no longer supply weapons to its neighbor amid a diplomatic dispute over Kiev's grain exports. Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki has said that Poland's focus was instead on defending itself with more modern weapons. The country's president later tried to modify their stance, but the dispute is seen as a rift among members of the anti-Moscow alliance. Poland has supplied hundreds of Soviet-era tanks and 14 MiG-29 fighter jets to Ukraine and served as a major transit hub for weapons from other Western nations. These developments have stirred talk of a global shift in sentiment towards supporting Ukraine as the war grinds on, more than a year and a half after it began.
It is full of Ukrainians here. This is what I seriously do not like. They get benefits, energy costs went up, everything went up. So basically, they are getting benefits, and we, our citizens, we pay.
The money spent on the war in Ukraine has unnerved many citizens in European countries. Days ago, hundreds of people staged rallies in different German cities to vent their anger at Berlin's growing support for Ukraine. Many protesters carried banners and placards advocating for peace in Ukraine while expressing opposition to government policies, including the remilitarization of Germany. Demonstrators said Germany's decision to send more weaponry to Ukraine risks escalation of the conflict with Russia. Some protesters demanded that Germany pull out from the NATO alliance. Some said the United States is benefiting from Germany's intervention in the Russia-Ukraine war. Germany is among Western countries that have provided Ukraine with a wide range of weapons since the war erupted in February 2022.
I'm mainly concerned with crisis intervention and resolving this armed conflict on the one hand. On the other hand, of course, there are trends in the militarization of Germany. After all, from a purely political point of view, Germany is right in the middle, and America is shamelessly taking advantage of that too, using citizens through media policy to perhaps ultimately use them for their own goals, and Ukrainian citizens were also exploited.
The German economy has suffered due to crisis in Ukraine. It tipped into a recession at the start of the year and stagnated in the second quarter. High inflation, industrial slowdown, and reduction in global demand for manufactured goods have all been weighing on the German economy. And earlier in October, dozens of anti-war activists in New York City said that the interest of NATO depends on the perpetuation of imperial capital and extraction of wealth from the dispossessed.
Unification of peace forces in the United States, recognizing that it's the United States and NATO who are the are to blame and the fundamental cause of the conflict in Ukraine, and that if we can force the U.S. government to stop sending money and weapons to Ukraine, the war will end the very next day.
A poll conducted in August said most Americans oppose Congress authorizing additional funding. Overall, 55% say the U.S. Congress should not authorize additional funding to support Ukraine versus 45% who say Congress should authorize such funding. And 51% say that the U.S. has already done enough to help Ukraine. The removal of Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House of Representatives has added to the uncertainty around aid for Ukraine.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می‌کند ذکر خداست، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. Date February 11th, 1983. Our beloved combatants must not regard the victory other than it being a result of divine assistances. It is here that Allah will continue granting His favors and you will continue the combat and the honorable war for the defense of Islam and the Islamic homeland, and by the will of the blessed and Almighty attain the final victory. Now that by the grace and favor of Allah, the environment in Iran has been cleared of the dust of mischief of the mischievous elements, these false claimants to being supporters of the masses and the people, who with their own hands revealed their dirty faces.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. About the subject of performance of obligation, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, "For us, the important thing is that we perform our duty." This speech of our Imam is about the significance of performing religious duties. You know, it is a great sin to omit or not to perform any single obligatory religious duty. Which has been made obligatory. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said,
one who omits prayer intentionally, has indeed gone out of the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi sallallahu alayhi.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said in that regard, the Almighty Allah shall not cast a glance of mercy upon one who leaves a wajib duty or an obligatory duty or commits a greater sin, and he shall not cleanse him of his sins. The narrator asked in surprise, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really not look at this person with mercy? Imam alayhi salam replied, this is because he has become a polytheist, assigning a partner. Did he really become a polytheist? Asked the narrator in astonishment. And Imam alayhi salam continued, this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has issued a command and shaitan had issued another. This person neglects Allah's command and accepted the order of shaitan. Thus, this person shall abide in the seventh layer, where abide the hypocrites of hell with shaitan, because he has obeyed the latter. You know, these words of Imam alayhi salam imply that polytheism here denotes polytheism in obedience. And Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi wants us to know that under any circumstance, we should perform our duties, since neglecting these duties and leaving them would have the most dangerous effect on us. And along with the harms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be displeased in that way. Okay, dear listeners, for ending, let's just recite the sentence of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi about the performance of obligation. Well, in that regard, he said, for us, the important thing is that we perform our duty. Thank you very much for listening to us. And until another episode, I bid you farewell. And may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Palestine Declassified.
Hello, I'm Chris Williamson. In this special edition of Palestine Declassified, we're going to examine the extraordinary armed uprising of the Palestinian people against the Zionist entity, which has repeatedly and flagrantly spurned every single peaceful attempt to secure justice for Palestine. First up is Latifa Abu Chakra with a special report about this audacious military offensive by Palestinian freedom fighters that began in the early hours of Saturday morning on October the 7th.
As fragile as a spider's web, the Zionist entity is shaking with fear. In an early morning shock, Palestinian resistance factions from Gaza launched an unprecedented three-pronged attack on the entity. First, armed fighters sailed over the Israeli fence to Gaza using hand gliders. Simultaneously, 5,000 rockets were launched into the Zionist entity from the open-air prison of Gaza, disabling that much-vaunted Iron Dome system. At the same time, Palestinians broke down the fence, which fighters had sailed over, using bulldozers. What ensued was the homecoming of at least 1,000 Palestinians from the resistance factions into the fragile Zionist entity. Military bases were seized by the resistance, and Israel's Merkava tanks were captured and taken back to Gaza. Settlements like Sderot, whose Zionist guests had previously watched from hilltops while Gaza was bombed, were seized by the resistance. Over 100 settlers have been taken as prisoners of war by the resistance. The vast majority are members of the occupation forces. Some are extremely high-ranking figures, like General Nimrod Aloni, commander of the Depth Corps and former commander of the 143rd Gaza Division. He was unceremoniously marched from his bed in his underwear by the resistance forces. An area of occupied Palestine larger than the Gaza Strip was taken and held by the resistance factions, who reached within only 10 kilometers of the West Bank city of El Khalil, known to settlers as Hebron. It is documented that resistance factions were able to fashion weapons from unexploded munitions dropped on them by the Israelis. But did weapons from NATO escapades in Afghanistan and Ukraine really end up in Gaza? Time will tell. The fear of South Lebanon is palpable among the settlers, so much so that an Israeli occupation unit opened fire on an approaching truck close to Lebanon. They discovered that the vehicle carried 7 Israeli fighters. All had been killed by the Zionist-friendly fire. Overall, in a space of 48 hours, at least 700 settlers were killed. The vast majority were part of the occupation forces. To put the figure into perspective, in proportion to the size of the population of the colony, that is the equivalent of over 20,000 people in the United States. In the midst of it all, Russian hacker group Killnet took down the site of the Israeli regime administration, further spreading panic and fear. Nearly all major stocks in Israel are in the red, with the benchmark index recording the biggest loss for over a year. Poland and Bulgaria have sent military planes to evacuate their citizens and bring them back home to Europe.
As always, we're joined by our resident expert, David Miller. David's an academic and a former professor at Bristol University, and he's now a non-resident senior research fellow at the Centre for Islam and Global Affairs at Istanbul Zeyim University. He's also a co-director of the lobbying watchdog Spinwatch, and he's a leading British scholarly critic of Israel. Our guest today is Sami Alarian, who is a public affairs professor and a long-standing political activist whose roots are in Palestine. And Sami has vigorously campaigned for Palestinian liberation for many years, and he was blacklisted in the United States because of his political views. And he joins us today via Skype from Istanbul. Welcome to the show. Sami, perhaps we could start with you. Are we witnessing the death spasms of the Zionist idea, do you think?
Well, we have to go back to the origins of Zionism. Zionism was the political movement of Jewish elites at the end of the 19th century, and it was their response to Europe's anti-Semitism that existed at the time, particularly in Russia, the pogroms, and continued to what the experts would call the Jewish question. And they tried to answer that by basically creating an exclusivist, settler, colonial, racist state that has been trying for over a century to uproot the native people of Palestine from their native land and try to replace them with Jews around the world. This is what Zionism is about, and I think it has failed, but it continues to be strong in terms of the state because of the support it has been receiving from mainly Western governments, particularly the United States. But I think now it's becoming very clear that that kind of a response would not be accepted in the 21st century, particularly with the steadfastness of the Palestinians and the resistance to this racist, exclusivist movement and entity.
No, indeed. I mean, David, do you think Israel was caught completely unawares by this operation?
It does seem so. I mean, there's been some reporting, hasn't there, that the Egyptian intelligence services said something was going to happen, but they were ignored. So, I mean, I've seen the various other theories, let's not title them conspiracy theories, that have said that this is a false flag, that the Zionists let it happen, let all these hundreds of people be killed, or they thought that maybe a lesser number would be killed. But no, it's clear that that's not what's happened. What's happened clearly has been an operation planned for many, many months in Gaza and with the other resistance factions across the territories. And it's taken them entirely by surprise, but also, more importantly, it has inflicted an extremely significant military, intelligence, and psychological defeat on the Zionists. Indeed. They didn't think that this could ever happen to them. Mm. And the fact that they've